Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by CEO of your United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties, Terry Johns.
Good morning.
We got the band back together, and we're here to have some fun. Got a That Ain't Right story for you a little bit later. Great, good stories of the day, including some local stuff we want to touch on. We will catch up with our friends at the United Way in a little bit as well. But kick things off right now with some entertainment news. It's an interesting story, Terry. Game shows, to me in general, are interesting going forward. Part of the thing that has kept game shows alive is the hosts and your Pat Sajaks, your Alex Trebeks, your guys that kind of were a mainstay that we grew up with that were still doing this. Bob Barker, great reference. Got to get Bob in there. Got to get Bob in there. Spade new to your pets, everybody.
Who was the Family Feud guy forever? Oh, Richard Dawson.
Richard Dawson, the great Richard Dawson, and that's that long silver microphone of his and everything. Yes. But this is a great example. These gentlemen, these people, they were iconic. In a sense, they owned daytime TV, and it really was a place in time that has kind of slipped away a little bit. The game show during daytime TV hours isn't what it used to be. The numbers
aren't even really soap operas anymore. Yeah. I mean, daytime TV in general is very different.
Kind of faded quite a bit. So I don't blame or begrudge anybody for doing what they got to do to try to bring people in. It's probably going to be a while before they pick a new Wheel of Fortune host, but there are some names getting thrown out there right now, and they do a lot of this nowadays. Movies do this. Movie studios do this. They give you the idea of something leaked. Quote-unquote leaked. Some information leaked out or something. It did not leak. They sent it out there. They let it out there so that they could give a feed. Like, oh, how does the audience react into this? How are people reacting to this idea? And, oh, Drew Carey, maybe the next host of The Price is Right. How do you guys feel about that? You're cool with that? Okay. Drew's the host. Like, that's how it works. If people didn't like Drew Carey as the host, it wouldn't have happened. He's done a great job, by the way. And I think that people have noticed this. So you have Wayne Brady doing... make a deal and that sort of thing. So not too surprising, but a little bit surprising to me that sources are saying Mario Lopez is being very heavily considered for the Wheel of Fortune gig, in part because studios show that they Latinos are one of the largest growing TV audiences in America, specifically in the daytime hours. You have a Latino host, you hope to bring in more people. Mario has he's hosted a number of TV shows over the years and done a fine job from everything I've heard.
Isn't Wheel of Fortune on in the evening?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So I don't know if they're, I don't know where, maybe they're trying to get more numbers.
Or maybe they're just looking at where, you know, where there's growth. Yeah. But,
A Nielsen exec says, quote, I think that it's really important maker for how Latinos are influencing America's most watchable entertainment. It's important to have Latinos on camera. Representation is important. I think that's pretty understood nowadays. But it's not just the idea that people, Latinos want to see a Latino host. It's white people, black people, everybody wants to see different hosts. They don't want to see the same old thing. And I get that. I don't think there's anything. There's certainly nothing wrong with any of this. Even if they want to host, they have another white host. That's fine, too. What I think is it's not they don't want to see a Pat Sajak anymore. Pat earned that audience. He was grandfathered in. You can't come into this now as Richard Jennings and you're famous for you won Jeopardy. Like you got to have charisma. You've got to be able to carry a tune. You've got to be able to do something. So you're Wayne Brady's, who's beyond talented. The only problem for Wayne Brady is they just can't find one thing what to do with the guy. Drew Carey, great stand-up comedian.
Yeah, absolutely.
Famous actor, pretty famous actor, I would say. Bringing somebody like that in is the kind of thing that people want. They want something that they a recognizable face and somebody who has some charisma, somebody who can carry the scene, carry a moment, those awkward moments especially.
Did Vanna retire also?
She's gonna be, I know.
I was I was thinking they went out together, but
and I think that'd be kind of cool if they do retire at the same time. But
I remember when Wheel of Fortune started.
I remember that too. I hope they stick around. I hope these shows stay. I hope that they find their audience and they're able to stick around.
You know, I liked, just thinking about game shows now, Press Your Luck. I always thought that one was good.
Was Press Your Luck the one with the little gremlin guy?
With the whammies.
Yeah, the whammies. Yeah, that's the one I like too. I like that one, yeah. It wasn't really a game show, but I remembered the Gong Show. I really liked the Gong Show. I was a big fan of the Gong Show as a little kid. That was one of my all-time favorites. Let's see here. What were some of your favorites, everybody? What were your favorite game shows? 424-2600. Let us know what some of your favorite game shows or old game show hosts. You know, I'll take that too.
You know, we didn't have, so when I was a kid, we didn't have cable TV, right? But some of my friends did. And I always thought it was cool on, I think it was, maybe it was right when the GSN, when the game show network started, but there was a show on there called Supermarket Sweep. And I always thought that that show was so fun. I never could watch it at home, and maybe that was part of it, right? Like, you'd see it when you were somewhere else, and it was exciting. But otherwise, Price is Right was always a long-time fave of mine.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I think because you could play along from home. You know what I mean? Like, I talked about Press Your Luck before, but the person pressed the button. You didn't you know, you could guess along.
The Price is Right. You were shouting names. You were a dollar over, a dollar under. You were
Same with Wheel of Fortune.
Jeopardy, in our house, a little bit of that. My mom and I would yell answers at the TV stuff. That one, too. So this is becoming no longer a that ain't right story. It's becoming something that I'm almost going to demand happen. I don't want these guys to get away with this, with just talking about it and earning a little bit of attention and not actually doing it. We'll get to that in a moment. First, more importantly, getting to you. Good morning. You're on the air. Do you got a favorite game show you want to tell us about? Good morning. Hello. Nope, they hung up. All right. Please feel free to call back, 424-2600. Oh, there we go. All right. Good morning. Do you have a game show you're joining us with? Or? Good morning. I don't know what's going on with the phones today.
It's like it's cutting it off. Because as soon as you hit it, then it goes dark.
And that's the way this has always worked. I don't know.
Hello? There we go.
Hello?
Hey, third time's a charm.
Yeah. hey, what do you got for us?
Double Dare.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that was a good one. Yeah.
Got to get that in there. Great, great reference. Yes, yes. That was a lot of fun. Another great host, the Mark guy, whatever his name was, Mark something. Mark Summers, thank you. Great host. He hosted a lot of shows over the years, and he was very good at that gig. It's a great one, man. Thank you for that.
Yep, I know.
The tongue thing on the Double Dare. That was the one that I never wanted to mess with that one. But everything else on there, my sister and I, when we first moved up here at Nana Papa's house, we drove them crazy because we would set things up in the living room and obstacle
make
courses
your own
and stuff.
Show.
Yeah, yeah.
Funny.
It was not. We broke some stuff. It was not. We would have never made the Double Dare. We would have been horrible on that show. So, yeah, these guys can't get away with talking all this mess, all this nonsense, and not backing it up. My father told me our creed, our family creed back in the day, you let them start it, you finish it. And that is just something that we have always lived by. So these two got to do this, all right? As ridiculous as it sounds, this Mark Zuckerberg, Elon Musk fight actually might really happen. UFC boss Dana White, who's a piece of junk himself, says he talked to both of them and, quote, absolutely dead serious about it. And not surprisingly, he's more than willing to make it happen, of course, because he'll do anything for a buck, and he'll certainly sell out his fighters for a buck, as long as he's making more than they are. He says it'll easily be the biggest fight of all time, with a pay-per-view of cost of $100. And both guys seem willing to donate whatever they have to charity, or whatever they make to charity. We know that Mark Zuckerberg is pretty serious about a student of jiu-jitsu, but Dana says that Elon told him he's done some martial arts too, and he also got into, quote, plenty of fights growing up.
There is no way this will happen.
I'd be shocked if this happened, and it takes a great deal to shock me nowadays. But what I definitely don't want to happen is them to get away with this. Like, they're gonna, don't get me wrong, I know that they're gonna, but I don't want people to let it go. I don't want people to, every time Elon's being interviewed or something like that about how he lost another 2 million at Twitter or something like that. Hey, Elon, by the way, when's that fight happening? You know, I want journalists asking these questions. I don't want them to let this go.
Really?
Mark Zuckerberg is just losing money every second with the Meta Universe thing. Elon Musk is losing money every 5 seconds with the Twitter thing and stuff. These guys used to be considered geniuses and are now laughed at. Their memes, their jokes. Why else do you think they're doing this? Do you think that these two really don't like each other? Like, I'm not saying that they're best friends, but if you don't think that this is an old wrestling trope, This is wrestling 101. This is what Vince McMahon would be doing with these guys. Hey, your name, your star has fallen a little bit. Use each other to build each other back up.
Where do you think they would do it? Like MGM Grand or something?
Yeah, definitely Vegas. It'd be in Vegas. Definitely be in the MGM in Vegas. I would. The only thing that would shock me more is that if this didn't happen, or it did happen, is if it wasn't at the MGM. I please, miss me with $100 pay-per-view. $100. I wouldn't pay $100 to see two actual fighters fight it out.
This is dumb.
Because these two are going to go to the ring. I joked about this yesterday, and I guarantee you this is how this goes down if it did actually happen. Big theme music, pomp and circumstance, 20-minute intros. They get into the ring, and it's slap fight. It's slap fight. It's just two grown men slapping each other. No, you stop it. No, you stop it. Oh, you got my eye. You messed up my hair. It's going to be two little babies who have Elon Musk was in fights as a kid. Get out of here, man. If there ain't many things that I could tell in another human being, but I could tell if you've taken a couple punches in your life. And Elon Musk needs to have taken some punches in his life.
Do you know, funny, one time we were in Vegas, probably about 10 years ago, and there was a UFC fight like coming up, mm-hmm. you know, maybe like 2 days later. And you would not believe all of the pomp and circumstance with that. Yeah, I mean, yeah. With these little posses, you know, going, it was like a floating pile of body, you know what I mean? It just the groupies and all of it. And I was just like, what is going on?
Mike Tyson used to go to the ring with a towel over his head. That was it. Maybe some LL Cool J playing or something, but that was it.
This is 2 days before. I mean, it's not even like fight day, you know?
I had a fighter a couple of years ago came into the ring in this warrior garb, like heavy, heavy warrior garb and everything. He got into the ring, his legs were tired. Like, it's just, what are you doing?
Well,
what,
you know.
What are you doing?
Dumb is dumb.
Yeah. What's new in your theaters this weekend? Looking at it, nothing too big. Well, nothing on too wide release. There is No Hard Feelings from Jennifer Lawrence. It's an R-rated movie. She responds to a job listing from parents asking for someone to bring their introverted 19-year-old son out of his shell. Matthew Broderick is in this as well, along with Laura Benignati. Yeah, that looks good. The big one coming out this weekend, the new Wes Anderson movie, Asteroid City, rated PG-13. As every Wes Anderson movie is, it's got its charms and its little bit of a color play that he does, and an incredible cast. Everybody wants to work with Wes Anderson. Everybody does. If you would like some proof to that, Scarlett Johansson, Jason Schwartzman, Tom Hanks, Jeff Goldblum, Margaret Robbie, Steve Carell, Edward Norton, Brian Cranston.
They're all in this movie?
All of them.
I've never even heard of this
movie. Adrian Brody.
What did you say? Asteroid City?
Asteroid City, yeah. It's rated PG-13. It's being released. It came out last night at midnight. It's released in theaters. I imagined that we, you know, have it around here. Hopefully, I don't know. That's what happens when you have a monopoly. But who knows? Wes Anderson takes this one back to a retro-futuristic version of 1955.
Oh, okay.
So it's a bit of a sci-fi romantic tale of his. He's going into a little different thing here. I've never seen a bad Wes Anderson movie. He's one of those few directors for me that I will always see his movies. Then you put a cast like this together, and you've got you've got Tom Hanks in all gray. Like, he's got the pepper and blah, you know, looks good. Looks good. I don't know. I'll say that for me, it's something that Bree and I might go see, because she's a big Wes Anderson fan too. So I might go see that with
her.
Cool. And if you see any of these movies, please feel free to let us know about it. We'd love to hear about them. This weekend, got some great original content on your radio dial right here at WFHR, and it kicks off every Saturday morning at 7 with the greatest show you may ever hear, the Sunshine Polka Show. Join our guy Tim Hubbelt for a great half an hour of nonstop wonderful polka. Tim scours the universe to get you different polka, wonderful polka, and he does such a good job with that show. It's an institution around here. That show's been around longer than I have been, and many of us have been around here. We love that show, and take a listen to it and enjoy. Be sure to join Seth every Saturday from 11 to noon for Over the Back Fence. Bring him your items you're looking for, items you want to sell, garage sales, all of those fun things. He also has local news and notes for you as well. Be sure to check that out. And every Sunday, we've got two great shows back-to-back lined up for you. Seth Faces Music from 6 to 8 and Director's Cut from 8 to 9. With the rafter season going on, sometimes our shows will be interrupted, rightfully so. We are completely okay with that. We love our rafters, and we love being the home of the rafters, but just keep that that in mind as we go through the summer here. Some of those shows might be a little bit different, sometimes repeats. That's just so we can save those guests and use them in the, you know, real heated moment in the, when we get into fall and a lot of that. We got some great guests lined up in the next couple of weeks on Director's Cut. We have a couple of people joining us who did a film here in Wisconsin that are really exciting. I want to get the Dance with Pam people on. They've been in this area forever doing things. Mm-hmm. So many people that we haven't even touched. I don't think we've even scratched the surface. And we've done more episodes than I can count. We have so many great artists in this area. If you are an artist, if you would like to be featured on Director's Cut and join us on the WFHR stage, we'd love to have you. Reach out to us. You can give us a call over here to our front desk, 424-1300. You can email me directly, james.mailoff@civicmedia.us. Or you can direct message us on Facebook, just like our WFHR Facebook page, and direct message us. We're going to be doing this show for as long as I can think of, so we're going to have plenty of time to get you on.
And let's get them all on. Just a reminder that all those shows are archived as well, so you can pull it up and, you know, listen if it's not convenient to listen at the time that it airs live.
Thank you for that, Terry. I encourage you to download the Civic Media app as well. I always feel a little weird about this because we work for Civic and we're telling you to download the Civic Media app, and I know how lame that can be sometimes. We're honest about this, man. This is a great app. Like, if you listen to our stations, if you like listening to multiple stations, I know there are a lot of people, I hear this all the time. We listen to you guys in the morning, afternoon, I'm out. You go into a different Civic Media station, or if you're going somewhere else, easy to flip around. When you use that Civic Media app, there's this one-touch call thing. So when we're asking you, hey, call up, give us your favorite game shows, or what's your favorite summer activity, you can hit that button and it calls us instantly. You go right to us. It's a pretty cool feature. They did a really nice job on that. Shout out to the engineering staff, to all the people that work behind the scenes on those things. I like working for a company that they come out with an app, and it's pretty good. It's pretty solid. They could just leave it as is. But no, we can make that better. And I like that. I admire that. I want that in our company. We can always do better. I don't care who you are, what you do for a living. You can be better. And we should all want to be. I like that. Download the Civic Media app. Stream us 24/7. Please stream us 24/7. We want those numbers. I want better and better ratings.
Or from 7 to 10 and 3 to 4. And
Yeah. However you got to do it, just do it. We will be back with more fun coming up on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Bring it.
What I want. There we go. Oh, no. I didn't want this one. No. No, 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 no.
Oh, I thought we were getting jiggy with it.
No, no. I didn't want jiggy with it, and I didn't want this either.
Jeez, wow.
I've been burnt out of Dirty Dancing. Wow. I'm sorry. I've been really burnt out of it. Wow. Okay. It's a good cat impression. I actually like that one. We got to get into this, Terry. This is an interesting thing here. If you're feeling old, you are not alone. We all are, at least collectively. A new census report found the median age in the U.S. hit a new all-time high last year, 38.9 years old. Back in 2000, it was 35, and back in 1980, it was 30. For those that don't know, median isn't quite the average. When you take every person's age, it's the one in the middle. So, not so much the average as it is right in the middle there. It's partly because we're living longer, but mainly because people aren't having as many kids. Birth rates have been falling fast since the Great Recession back in 2007, and the pandemic did not help. We had kind of an influx of pandemic babies, but that was not the influx that I think a lot of people thought it was.
Because it was kind of like the one funny thing you could joke about.
Exactly.
During that time.
Yes, you're so right. Yes, yes.
Like, how many babies are there going to be?
It was like that.
Everyone's trapped at home.
Like, that was it. That was all we could joke about. Yeah, everything else was very intense. The oldest state in America is Maine, with a median age of 44.8. New Hampshire is next with 43.3.
Huh, interesting.
So a couple years back, I had I'll just be honest with you guys. I had the public radio station out there, like NPR, for Connecticut reach out. And I was thinking about going out there and doing work with them. And recently, I've heard from some people out in New Hampshire and in that area. Apparently, they kind of cover the whole area over there. So I've been talking with them recently. We were talking about, you know, just work in general, just being honest. And honestly, it's not, I mean, I don't want to leave this place. I'm gonna be real with you guys. I love my job here. I love being here. I love working here, and I love all of you out there. But it was something we talked about. But one of the first things they told me was they're not looking into too many people because they're only looking for people 40 plus. Because that's what the average age is out there, and sure. They want people to have an audience, a voice that people are familiar with and want to hear, and that's Radio 101. You don't give people, you don't force radio on people. If people aren't listening, they're never listening. They're not. It's not as if they're going to come around to you. They're going to get turned on to you, or they're eventually going to give you a chance. That just doesn't happen in radio, especially again when you force things on people. Some companies realize that. Some companies they realize that when they go bankrupt. We'll see. We'll see how these things go with a lot of these companies out there. I'm curious to see. Radio's got a future, and I find that amazing because 10 years ago, we didn't think it did. I think it's awesome. You've seen Sirius and XM and a lot of these kind of things fade, and now they've got their niche audience, but that's it. That was supposed to kill what we're doing. That was supposed to kill local radio. Nope, we're still here. Local radio is still very prominent in throughout the whole country.
You know, when you think about that median age thing, though, that is the first thought that comes to my mind is people are living longer, but I don't know how much weight I've given to the fact that there are less children being born. So, you know what I mean? Yeah, like, that's really, really probably driving that more than people living longer. But it's interesting to think about it that way.
With what where I was going with the radio thing there, too, I see a connection with this, where you've got people in there that want that familiarity. And that age group is a part of that. And I didn't think about the... I didn't think about us having less babies either. You're right. I didn't really think about that too much.
But or how that impacts numbers like this. Yeah.
The oldest state we got, the Utah, is the youngest state by far with 31.9 years. I didn't see that coming. And then Texas with 35.5 years.
You really didn't see that coming?
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. No, it was actually the Texas thing that is less surprising to me, though. You have a migration going on with a lot of people moving, and you have a lot of people moving to southern states, especially tax-free states. You have a lot of people moving to back home to their home states. So you're seeing an influx of a lot of moving around. But because almost everybody is moving around, like the same numbers are in each in these states, you're not really seeing
like going in and out.
Yeah,
yes.
You're not seeing a huge influx of right. of numbers changing with that, which is kind of funny to me how that's working out. It's almost like we planned it. Like, hey, everybody, let's do this all at the end. Go. Like, all right, on three. Are we going to do it on three or on the number three or after we say three? Let's go on three. All right, everybody, one, two, and everybody just decided to move around. It's a movie musical chairs with this now. Interesting, though. I don't know really what we take from that as far as data, or I mean, outside of data, I don't know that there is a lot to take from it. Otherwise, you know, other than I mean, the human race ain't going anywhere. So I feel pretty confident that we're okay there as far as you know, keeping our population at a certain number. I remember hearing years back. The human population has to stay at a certain number for the species to survive. And we're nowhere even close to worrying about that, of course. But I thought that was fascinating.
That it's even been, like, that it's even a thing?
Yeah.
I agree. You know, it is interesting to me, the growth, though, in the median age since 1980. Now, that was 40 years ago. I get that. But at the same time, it's like it's gone up almost 9 years.
Yeah.
You know, the median age. So that's... Yeah. It's interesting.
Wild. Yeah. I don't know if you really what you really take from this other than it's just kind of interesting.
Eat your veggies.
Yeah. I don't know.
Exercise.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. Throw that in there. I think that's great. That's always good. Yeah. Why not? We'll take a break right here. We're going to get to Melissa's news. We'll come back with some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to The Morning Show, WFHR. Locally grown radio. Hope you're having a good morning out there, everybody. Little Al B. Shore playing us in. Remember Al B. Shore?
I don't know if I know this.
No, no. It's maybe a little different genre. You know, it was R&B, so I don't know. I know it was big where I was from. Where I was from, every kid has a memory of slow dancing to this song, or more accurately, looking down at their feet while they thought about slow dancing with a girl.
Don't make eye contact.
And then I'm making eye contact and looking up. Is she still? Oh, she's looking at me. She's looking at me.
The song's almost done, and you still haven't asked.
That's what would happen to me, Terry. It was like a 3-minute song, and I had like 2 minutes of panic, of back and forth, and finally the last minute, I'm over there, and that was the story of my life, yes. I got an interesting. Not much has changed. You want to sound smarter? It's easy. Just play dumb. Wait a minute, what? According to a series of studies out of Harvard and the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton Business School, the best way to make people think you're smarter during small talk is by you asking them for advice. And it's because we're all egomaniacs, basically. The researchers found that when someone asks us for advice, we instantly assume they're smart. Because they have the wisdom to recognize that we really know what we're talking about. So instead of rattling off your knowledge or your accomplishments, the best way to make someone think that you're a genius is to listen to their advice and ask sharp, relevant questions.
Interesting.
Very. First off, that this comes out of Harvard and the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton Business School, two of the most respected schools in the world, let alone our country. I think that is noteworthy right there. Usually these things come out of a smaller school or, they come from overseas or something. And not that I take them lightly, but this carries a little more weight to it.
Yeah, it's a credible source.
And it is extremely true. Like this, I didn't think we even needed these guys to tell us this.
But isn't that funny?
It's very funny. I find this to be one of my favorite That Ain't Right stories ever.
I mean, I agree with you. I think it is true. Yeah. But it's also just that relationship building of, if you're asking questions, you're seeing value.
Mm-hmm.
However your question is intended, right? Yeah. If you're, but I think it makes people just feel good in general about themselves, not necessarily the question asker.
Yeah, yeah. About a year ago, maybe a little less, I reached out and I heard from my old boss recently. I got an email from Conan O'Brien. And let me pick up that name as I dropped it right there and put it back where it is. And one of the things that I thought that was very noteworthy is he asked how the career is going. And I told him about, doing the interviewing with Midday Magazine, how much he helped watching him do this and stuff. And the first thing he said is, has anybody said to you, that's a good question? If they do, that feeling, the way that feels, like that's the most common. Steve Allen told him that anytime he hears that the rest of his life, that's going to be one of the greatest. Like,
it's, so it actually is a good question?
It doesn't matter. It just feels good. He asked that, and how many times when people say it, was it a good question? Or were they just saying that?
Yeah.
But that got me thinking about this and wondering, well, how often is it the case that that's where we are as a people? I think this is something also that connects us. This shows us how we all have this in common. Almost every single person has a moment in their life where somebody has asked them advice, and you immediately, your chest pops up a little bit higher. You're standing a little taller. Well, actually, what I would do is, and you love doing that.
Absolutely.
We all love doing that. I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with that. I think there's a big difference of ego. Like, ego gets a lot of things done. Most of the people that you know that are world famous have a bit of an ego. It helps, them get to the place that they are. But there's a balance of that, too, where that ego can, eat you up internally and you become nothing but this shell of a human being and you are just a walking, living, breathing ego.
Well, where it's accompanied by... Yeah, I agree with you. It's more like the difference between, I think probably everyone has some layer of ego, but are they egotistical and are they arrogant about
there
it?
You go.
You know what
Nicely
I mean? Like,
done.
Is there
Nicely
arrogance
done.
There?
Yes, yes. I don't think people have, like, I look at Robert Downey Jr. and I spent like 3-4 hours with the guy on set, on a bridge in Iowa. You know, not exactly the most perfect circumstances or anything. But that man, it's 1 a.m, it's raining, and nobody was in a bad mood because his energy energy and the way he was treating everybody, from the caterer to the director to people like me. Like, just everybody was special. Everybody was in a good mood. Everybody was feeling good because he was just going around talking to people. And he didn't spend time in his trailer while it was raining or something like that, and his makeup would get ruined. He was out there with everybody. But I've also heard everybody that's worked with Robert Downey Jr. talk about, this is a guy who believes in himself. This is a guy who doesn't have a problem with confidence or anything like that.
But you can be confident mm-hmm. and not be arrogant, yeah, right? It's in about how we treat other people.
Yes.
I don't think there's any, I mean, confidence, I think, is actually refreshing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? When you see someone who's confident in what they're doing, what they believe, whatever it is. But I don't know. I think confidence is a good characteristic.
Because of the industry I'm in, I'm sorry, did I cut you off?
No, go ahead.
Because of the industry I'm in, I've thought a lot about this, both in radio and in acting. I've actually dealt with more divas in radio than I ever have in acting. And I've worked with some pretty big names, and I have never met, I've met 2 or 3 divas in acting. I met a ton of divas in this industry.
Stop talking about Seth like that.
That would be the biggest flip, the biggest twist in the world to me is Seth getting an ego. He could use
I think you said diva.
Yeah, or diva. He'd be him becoming a diva. Yes, yes. But you, I, as much as I've thought about this, Terry, I think you found the magic solution here, the difference. And I've never thought of it before, but you said it so simply, the way you treat people. Like, you can handle a person who is confident, maybe even a little bit of believing in themselves a little too much or whatever. But how do they treat people? That's so key to this. I had never really thought about it that way, but that is perfectly said. I will not forget that one. That is good. So if you want to sound smart, ask questions and listen and act like you.
So actually shut your mouth.
Yep. Yep.
Which, interesting.
Most things in life come back to listening. They do. They do. At least that's what I hear. I don't know. That was a bad joke. We were going to get out of here on that. It was going to go away. And I want to apologize to you for that joke. We're going to come back.
It was a joke?
Sort of. This is why we need writers. This is why the Writers Guild. This is why this is so important. When we come back, we got a That Ain't Right story or two. Arizona Iced Tea is up to something. We're going to see what our audience and you think of that. And plenty more coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Pearl Jam right there with Last Kiss. I believe, if not their only number one hit song, I think one of their only number ones.
I think there was only a few.
Yeah, I always thought that was kind of cool that they redid that song and that would turn out to be one of their big hits. We got some interesting stuff to get to here with some That Ain't Right stories and then some really good stuff for you with local good stories of the day. Arizona Iced Tea has been a fan favorite for a long time. They're 99 cents. You know, you can't beat that. Most people like them. I know I've had at least a flavor or two that I don't mind. Arizona Iced Tea doesn't need to change for anyone who's gone through an iced tea phase. You know what we're talking about? Well, Arizona Iced Tea is doing something, though, to kind of increase their stock. They just dropped a new alcoholic version called Arizona Hard. That is a horrible title. They say it's malt spiked and features 5% alcohol. It comes in 3 flavors, lemon, peach, and green tea, one with ginseng and honey. They've been selling these in Canada for a few years, but this is the first time that they're rolling them out in America. There was just a soft launch in Florida in select markets, but it did pretty well. As you might expect, the alcohol versions will not be 99 cents. The hard versions are suggested $3.49 for a 22-ounce can.
So it's like, probably, I'm guessing, like Twisted Tea.
That's what
right?
I was thinking.
Like similar?
Yeah. First off, I was a little shocked that they didn't do another one of these White Claw things. I thought that it was going to be another one of those when I saw the article.
But I think that the Twisted Tea is kind of making a comeback with kind of the younger of age drinkers. You know what I mean? Like the early 20s. Yeah. I think that the Twisted Tea, so they probably saw an opportunity, right?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, and those kids grew up on the Arizona Iced Tea, so.
That's a good point. That's a really good point, actually. This is very smart.
Yeah.
That they and smart marketing. You know, follow your audience. Follow your core. I don't know. I don't want to, you know, come out and say that this is a clear that ain't right story. But I think for plenty out there, it will be. Believe it or not, it's been 25 years since Furby Mania, and Hasbro is bringing them back for the 25th anniversary. Furbies will be available for the first time since 2016. The new version comes with 5 voice-activated modes and more than 600 responses. It can also interact with other Furbies, so you can have, get multiple ones.
I don't know how I got around this, but my kids did not have any of those.
Yeah, I missed this. Yeah, my kids were old enough where they were beyond. They outaged this one. Yeah, I was lucky. I did not have to deal with these things. And here's another reason why we got lucky too, Terry. Furbies are now available online at Amazon for $70.
Well, there you go.
Whoa. When did you no. I mean,
I don't really know how much they were.
I might buy my kid a bike for $70. I ain't buying him a Furby.
You're probably not buying a bike for $70. I mean, that's another conversation. Yeah. But wow.
Furby was first launched in 98 with over 40 million of them sold globally in the first 3 years. They were
Who do they think they are? Cabbage Patch?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Know your lane, Furby. This is owned by the Cabbage Patch Kingdom here. I think there are few things. You can go back and you can find old TV footage and everything, but unless you were alive during it, I don't think you can understand how crazy that Cabbage Patch thing was.
Oh.
Not even Tickle Me Elmo came close to that.
No.
I don't think. That was wild.
Well, or maybe it was just because I think Cabbage Patch was like the first one.
Maybe.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like the Tickle Me Elmo thing got a little out of control.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think like it was the first, to my recollection, it might have happened with other things, but to my recollection, that was like the first time that something like that happened. I mean, I can remember, has nothing to do with kids, but I can remember at Yonkers when we would have like, you know, the day after Thanksgiving, Black Friday, when we'd have a sale, and how stupid people got over bread makers.
Yeah.
I mean, like, seriously. Yeah. And then they're in an awkward sized box, so they're trying to get like 4 of them, but they can't. Like just deadlift 4 of them. But it was quite the sight.
Yeah, I never been in any of those situations, but I know that I can remember like as a kid going through downtown Chicago and thinking that there was like a mini riot going on or something because people were running from department stores or looking for cabs because they heard that so and so, you know, had a couple Cabbage Patch dolls or something. It was crazy.
Yeah. So the Furbies are a little bit cute though. I just pulled them up to
look at them. They're not the ugliest thing in the world, but I think that from what I remember hearing from parents was they would make noises at like 1 a.m. Like they would freak you out.
So
they would, you know, take the batteries out. I don't know. True that.
I mean, is this your first rodeo? Take the batteries out of the noisy kid toy.
That's all you got to do. There's an off button on a lot of these things too, you know. I don't know. Our feature, that ain't right story. There are many ways to make a love connection, but I wouldn't consider this to be one of them. You wouldn't hear me say this very often, but I would do a dating app before I would take this person's suggestion of how to date. A man in Indiana named Damien robbed a woman outside her home last month. He pointed a gun at her, and she got $100. Obviously, very well worth it. An idiot. And then, with the gun still pointed at her, he asked her if she had a boyfriend.
Come on!
And if she'd add him on Facebook. He even showed her his profile.
So that's some serious ego.
The robber, right? Right? The robber, who I don't know, it's not clear in this article or not if he was wearing a face mask or anything like that.
How dumb.
But shows her, like, pulls up, like, it took him a minute, too, to find his profile.
And then, hey, newsflash, genius, when you pull up your profile picture, your name shows.
Yeah. he said he'd pay her back and then ran off. They even exchanged Facebook messages later with Damien still trying to score a date and promising to pay her back. At one point, he said, "It's messed up way to meet, but you were way too pretty to rob." The woman said that she has a man, but wished him well. Damien was dangerous, though. Last week, he was arrested for some other serious stuff. Court records show that Damien is not coming out anytime soon.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
He's a little unstable.
Just a little. You hit it on the head there with the ego, though. That is some masterful ego. I've dealt with some pretty silly alpha males before, but that's a different one right there.
But then you wonder if it really is that, or if he's just that dumb. I mean, he might just be that stupid.
I have a hard time with this one deciding which one I'm leaning towards, but I kind of lean towards the stupid part. I kind of think I am. I kind of have to. We need a palate cleanser. Let's get some good stories of the day. We're going to go to some local stuff to kick things off because we've got a big weekend of a lot of things going on. Right here in central Wisconsin, they got their high school trap team booster club hosting a brat fry. This is going to be going on today from 11 to 5. And then Saturday 9 to 5 and Sunday 9 to 3. This is to support 11 team members from Lincoln, Nakusa, Port Edwards, Adam Friendship High School, and their trap team who earned their spot to compete at the USA High School Clay Target League Nationals in Mason, Michigan in July.
Oh, that's awesome.
First up, congratulations.
Congrats.
Way to go, everybody. All proceeds raised will help cover travel expenses for families heading to Michigan in July. Please come to support the team at the Brat Fry held at 998 Ranger Road in Wisconsin Rapids.
Nice.
They're going to be,
and I believe that's at the Trap Shooting Club.
Yes.
Yeah
it is. We send a shout out to all of them. They do great stuff in this community and appreciate them. And really, way to go, you. All those kids from all those schools. That's very cool.
Get on out there and support them.
Yeah. And maybe we can try to get them on the air with us. I'd like to talk to them. I'd like to get them on and encourage them and build them up before they get to this tournament. A lot of brats this weekend, everybody. Culvers and brats. That's what's going to be in your diet. VFW and VVA Brat Fry coming up tomorrow from 10 to 2 over at the Quality Foods IGA at 1021 West Grand Avenue. Support your local veterans, veterans of foreign wars, post 2534, and Vietnam Veterans of America, chapter 101. Come on out there, support them. Terry and I were talking about this earlier. Go out there, you get your, the way I like to do this, I get my shopping done, and then I grab the brat on the way out.
Absolutely.
I'm eating it on the way home. You can do it any way you like.
You are getting ketchup on your shorts.
Probably, but I don't care. one thing I will ask, though, whether you get a brat or not, say hi, say thank you, make some eye contact.
If brats aren't your thing, drop off a donation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you, Terry. Friends Feeding Friends, a free community meal taking place at 611 24th Street North in Wisconsin Rapids over at Seventh-day Adventist Church Sunday. This is going on Sunday, June 25th. Doors open at 3, meal from 4 to 6. All are welcome. Thank you to the Seventh-day Adventist Church and for getting this to us and for hosting this and doing something like this. Appreciate them. And of course, Terry, I want to catch up with the United Way and some of the great things going on with you guys over there.
Yeah, so right now we are taking registrations for Stuff the Desk. This is our school supply distribution. So we encourage you, if your children qualify for free reduced lunch, you qualify for free school supplies. You need to visit our website, uwswac.org, to go ahead and sign up for those, for your slot for pickup. And the big thing for, you know, the general public is we are running our school supply drive right now. We call it Stuff the Bus. Encourage you to, the next time you're out shopping, grab a few things that could be donated to local kids. That will come together at August 3rd at Lunch by the River is when we actually stuff the bus, mm-hmm. and we ask for all donations to be turned in by that time. What happens that day is we have a whole bunch of volunteers inventory all of those donations, and then we go out and purchase what we still need. So that's why it's really important to get them to us by August 3rd so that your donation can be counted. And then we get those distributed the third week of August so that mm-hmm. kids are starting off their school year on the right track. So a lot of great things going on. We are also, just yesterday, we posted the opportunity to sign up for our campaign volunteer training. Mm-hmm. So if you are part of a workplace, you are part of an organization that might have a United Way campaign, you maybe just want to learn more about how United Way invests in the community, you are invited to join us for our campaign volunteer training. That's happening on August 22nd, and you can get all the details of that. It's a half-day kind of event, doing it at the library this year. So we encourage you to sign up for that if you have availability on August 22nd.
Mm-hmm. I know Pam does that. I think I might join her this year.
That'd
for
be
that.
Great.
I need to do that. I wanted to do it last year. I think I'm going to definitely do it this year. Again, uwswac.org. You can find out all this information. Be sure to follow the United Way on social media as well. Appreciate you and the team over there, Terry. Want to get to this one, too. I think this is a fun story. Internet sleuths helped a female radio host in Ohio find a man she kissed at a festival, but never got any of his info. Luckily, this show was able to get him on the phone. Here is Cole Fitch telling his story of kissing Natalie Jones on the Roy, Nat, and Freddie Mac show over in Cincy.
I think we introduced ourselves. She told me what she did. And then I told her what I did. We had a little bit of conversation about some other things. She told me she was buying my drinks. I was like, I don't know. I can get my own drinks. But she's like, I'm getting them. I was like, okay, I'm not going to fight with you. And then we turned away from the bar. And then one thing led to the other.
And then there's the kiss that everyone now has seen.
Yeah.
That's great. That's great.
And then we're making out.
The power of radio, people. The power of radio. I love that she brought this. This is what makes radio work nowadays and why it still has a life, doing real radio.
Well, so she clearly has some interest.
Uh-huh.
Because why would you put it out there and be like, let's find this guy, right?
I think that's great. I just really
awesome.
Like that story. I think that's fun. I'll
have to catch up with them in like 6 months.
Yes.
See what the story is.
That's what I want the follow-up. Absolutely, yes. I did want to remind everybody that we, of course, got a great way to wrap up the week of Midday Magazine. Shout out to everybody that's been following us with that show and listening, and the new listeners we've been getting. We've been getting a good flux of new listeners with that show with the new time slot. Thank you so much to the best listeners in radio. Midday Magazine wrapping up for the week, where we will welcome in part one our good friend Kim Inda, resource specialist with ADRC. Looking forward to talking with Kim. And we wrap up with Craig Bourne, Wisconsin Rapids Public School Superintendent, and Steve Hepp, with Public Services. We're going to talk a little Wisconsin Rapids Public Schools, find out what they got going on in the summer and all that. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to it. And always look forward to talking with Craig. Always a good conversation.
Yeah, that'll be great.
More Rafter baseball on your radio dial this weekend as we are your home of your Rafters. Rafters victorious last night in Fond du Lac. Let's bring that winning spirit back home, especially we just got this one home game for a while here. We're going to be at home at Winterfield tonight. 6:20 our pregame will kick off. Tomorrow, 5:20 pregame, but we're in Battle Creek for the next couple of nights. 5:20 on Saturday, 12:20 on Sunday at Battle Creek, and then on Monday at Traverse City at 5:50. Get your tickets and find out more at northwoodsleague.com. Everybody have a great weekend. Enjoy yourselves. Terry, have a good one.
Thanks, you too.
We'll be back with more Morning Show next week right here at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.